This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. Welcome to tonight's shiur. We're continuing the shiurim in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Balak, the shiurim on Bamidbar, dedicated by Dr. Zakim of Shpachta, Lilo Nishmas of Shem Eliezer, Ben Rav Yaakov Zakim, Ula Ilo Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, and Rav David Ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Sefer Bamidbar is also dedicated by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yasilovsky, Lilo Nishmas, Rabbi Isaac's father, Shabsi Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, and unfortunately for Yafa Malka Esther Bas Leah. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by my dear friends Rabbi Ari and Michelle Jacobson, Lil Eloy Nishmas, Rabbi Aryeh's mother, Sarah Malka Bas Aroin, whose yard site is today, the 13th day of Tammuz. We wish that his mother's neshama have an aliyah. She should be a Melitza Yeshara for their whole family, for Simchas Anachas, Pesuras Toivois, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is also dedicated by Rebbetzin Yehudit, Herman of Yishalayim, Lila Nishmas, her mother, Harriet P. Goldberg, Chaya Harriet Bas Leib of Indianapolis, Indiana, whose 6 yard set is Tes Vav Tammuz, Veganeden Tehe Menuchasa. She should be a Melitza Yeshara for her whole family. So we have great news. The great news is the Sefer Tzipisal Yeshua, translated, annotated with essays, is now available for you to pre-order. You could pre-order it. This way, you ordered it before Mashiach came. Imagine if Mashiach came and then you said, oh, I have to go get it. You know, this way you can know you got it, you ordered it before Mashiach comes. It's available for pre-order on artscroll.com. You go to artscroll.com, you click it, you pay for it, and then you're done. Then all you need to do is get another copy for your mother-in-law, and then for your sister-in-law, and for your house, one for your table, you know, multiple copies. It's a very important sefer. I may say so, make sure your children read it. It's one of the very important svarim written by the Chafetz Chaim, and it's presented in, new light. If anybody wants sefer on 3 weeks, The Darkness and the Dawn, it's right here. It's available right here. We have an amazing topic. We're continuing a series. By the way, next week, there's no shiur Wednesday night. Instead, we're going to be continuing this series Sunday night between Mincha Maariv and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So next week's shiur is on the fast day between Mincha Maariv. The subject we're speaking about is Bar Kochva. A star emerges from Jacob. Actually, this past Sunday morning, we had a shiur about the historical background of Bar Kochva. I highly recommend that you hear that shiur to really appreciate the subject. Just to give you a little bit of background, the episode of Bar Kochva takes place about 50 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So you had Vespasian, who became the emperor. He appointed his son Titus to be the general. Titus destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. After Titus, you had Domitian, Trajan, you had other Roman emperors, and then about 50 years later, you had the emperor Hadrian, Adarianus Caesar. I'm sure you've heard of Hadrian. Hadrian began his reign with the policy that he's going to try to curry good favor with the Jewish people. So many are unaware of this, but Hadrian actually gave the proclamation about 50 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash that the Jewish people should return and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Most people are not aware of that. In fact, almost nobody is aware of that. That 50 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hadrian gave word, okay, everyone, come back and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. But then the Greeks told Hadrian, bad idea, what are you doing? Why are you giving them permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash? They're not going to pay you taxes. They're just going to try to get autonomy and independence. Bad idea. So Hadrian said, what am I supposed to do? I already gave them permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So the early Christians, the Minim were the early Christians, who were basically Jews who believed in Yashka. They said, listen, we know the deal. Just tell them they could go rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. They just have to make it 5 amos off. They have to just move it 5 amos to the north or to the south or to the east. And you'll see they're not going to want to do it, and they'll disband on their own. And that's what Hadrian did. And the Jewish people mourned that, in fact, they would not be able to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. This is already 50 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people's army and morale had recovered. They felt they had enough, they had rebuilt their army enough that they could stage a rebellion. And that's what they did. This rebellion was led by somebody by the name of Bar Koziva, or we're going to see what exactly was this man's name. Why are we talking about it this week? Well, firstly, we've mentioned in the past that there are two great sins that are reoccurring sins throughout the generations. In every single
It's in the parsha.
generation, these sins repeat itself in some form, and without identifying exactly how and what, you'll see any mo you should be able to figure it out. But in every generation, the following two sins repeat itself. There are two sins that Chazal say were punished for in every generation. Number one, the sale of Yosef, Mechiras Yosef. Now, how does the sale of Yosef, so to speak, repeat itself in every generation? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman reveals, Rabbi Chaim Falaji reveals that the blood libels are a punishment for the sin of selling Yosef. Because think about what selling Yosef was. We took his tunic, we dipped it in blood, we told our father, Haker na, do you know who this tunic belongs to? So we created the first blood libel. We are punished in every generation with a blood libel. So, when the state of Israel is accused of genocide, that is what we call a modern day blood libel. And it's not just every generation, it's nearly every month, every week, if not daily. But there's another sin that repeats itself in every generation, and that is the sin of the Chet HaEgel. And how does the sin of the Chet HaEgel repeat itself in every generation? In every generation, there is a false Mashiach. Since the beginning of time, there has been a false Mashiach in every generation. It could be an individual, it could be an ideology, it could be a philosophy, it could be a movement. There is always a false messianic movement. That is the verdict of Jewish history. Rabbi Chanan says this is a result of the Chet HaEgel. The Egel was a false Messiah. And because of that, Hashem said, I'm going to preserve the sin of the Egel in every generation. And sure enough, this is something that repeats itself in every generation. And therefore, we suggested last year that a false Mashiach is such a great tragedy. Shouldn't there be a fast day to, so to speak, commemorate the sin of the false Mashiach? And indeed, there is. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the day that commemorates the Chet HaEgel. And I think it's very reasonable to assert that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the fast day dedicated to mourn the tragedy of what we call the Mashiach Sheker, the false Messiah in every generation. We mourn on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So what I would like to share with you today is a little bit about the history of perhaps the first of the false Mashiachs. And it's important to know about this. So because if you don't know about your past, then you're bound to repeat the same mistake again and again and again. And after a while, you can't say, no, it's not him, but it's him. Come on, we've been here before, That's why Rav Schwab says, Al tivtechu v'nedivim, you never put your faith in any individual as a Mashiach. Ashrei shekel Yaakov Ezra, you only put your faith in Hashem. As soon as you put your cards on an individual, you're in danger. Okay, and the first false Mashiach who actually had realistic potential to be Mashiach is somebody by the name of Bar Kochba, and that is directly connected to this week's parsha in the pasuk that Bilam says, "Erenu v'layata." I see him, meaning the Mashiach, but not now. Ashurenu, Rashi in Hosea means I wait in ambush for the coming of Mashiach. V'loy karoiv, even though he's not close. Darach koichav miyakoiv, a star bursts forth from Jacob, becomes shevet mi Yisrael, and a tribe goes forth from Israel. What does this have to do with Bar Kochba or Ben Koziva? So the first thing we try to understand is what was this man's name? V'yikare Shemoi b'Yisrael, when he had his bris milah. What did they name the kid? Yankel, Feivel, Beryl, what was his name? So if you look in Eicha Rabbah, in the Buber edition, that's a certain edition of the Medrash, It's not the regular edition of Medrash Rabbah. He says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kad havachazi Rabbi Akiva leben Kozva. When Rabbi Akiva saw Ben Kozva, his name was Ben Koziva. Hava Amar, he would apply the pasuk. Darach koichav miYaakov. A star went forth from Jacob. Which means Darach koichava miYaakov. A star went forth from Yaakov. Who is this? Zemelech HaMashiach. That's the King Messiah. So, in other words, his name was Ben Koziva, but Rabbi Akiva applied to him the pasuk Darach Koichav. In other words, Rabbi Akiva named him Bar Koichva. His name was not Star. His name was Ben Koziva. Rabbi Akiva applied to him the pasuk Ben Bar Koichva. Okay? Until Yochanan ben Tirasa came to him and he said, Rabbi Akiva, grass will grow on your jaw before Mashiach comes. We'll have to see. What does that mean? Grass doesn't usually grow on people's jaws. Some people, they have hair growing out of their jaw. Some people, not yet. They're working on it. But you're usually grass, unless you're a chia pet, grass doesn't grow out of your jaw. What exactly did Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa mean? However, if you look in the Yushalmi and Tainus, the Yushalmi and Tainus implies, no, his name did not change to Bar Koichva. If you look in the Yushalmi says, Reb Shimon bar Yochai said, Akiva, darshin the pasuk, darach koichav miYaakov, darach koizava miYaakov. In other words, Rabbi Akiva didn't change his name. Instead, Rabbi Akiva said that the pasuk bar koichav, darach koichav applies to Ben Koziva. He didn't change his name. Rabbi Akiva kahava chami bar koziva. Rabbi Akiva, when he saw that, in other words, the Eicha Rabbah in the Buber edition implies that Rabbi Akiva changed his name from Ben Koziva to Bar Koichva. The Yushalmi implies he continued to be called Ben Koziva. That's also the opinion of Eicha Rabbah that Rabbi Yochanan darshan the pasuk Darach Koichav miYaakov. Don't call it Koichav, but rather Koizav. In other words, we're not changing his name. His name was Koizav, and that's what his name will remain. It is suggested by the Perush on the Medrash Eicha Rabbah of Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Yadler in Perush Teferes Tzion, he quotes the Ma'ariv Nayim that no, really his name originally was Ben Bar Koichva. And because his name was Bar Koichva, everybody hinged his hat on him because they said, oh, this must be Mashiach. He fits into the pasuk Darach Koichav miYaakov. But afterwards, when he became a falsifier, in other words, when they realized he can't be Mashiach, so Rabbi Akiva wanted to tweak the drasha. Instead of Darach Koichav miYaakov, Koizav, meaning he's a falsifier. So this is another interpretation. His name was originally perhaps Koichav. He fit into the pasuk, but then when he was proven to be a false Mashiach, they, so to speak, tweak the drasha to indicate that he's a false. It's not a true movement.
Why is his name got Ben?
It means son of, meaning
Right,
he's the son of a star.
that's not his name though, then,
It
right?
means he assumes the role of, but that's an often used. He's the son of, meaning he assumes the full capacity of that idea. It's interesting if you look in the Sefer She'eres Yisrael, a Rav Menachem Mun Amlander, he says a little bit differently. Not that his name was Ben Koziva and Rabbi Akiva called him Bar Koichva. Not that his name remained Ben Koziva. Not that they switched it to Ben Koziva to show that he's a falsifier. But his name was, whatever his name was Feivel, Yankel Beryl. But he asked everyone to call him Bar Koichva because that was his way of, so to speak, pushing his messianic attempt to. So he figured if they call his new name Bar Koichva, then they'll interpret the pasuk Darach Koichav miYaakov as referring to him. So according to She'eres Yisrael, he was the one who, so to speak, advanced the name Bar Koichva. Also, if you look in Shalshalas HaKabbalah, he says that his name was Bar Koichva. There's a man by the name of Bar Koichva. And they darshan the pasuk Darach Koichav miYaakov, and then when he rebelled against Adar Yonos, so they called him falsifier. Okay, so basically, so far we presented three approaches to what his original name was. Either his original name was Ben Kaiziva and Rabbi Akiva called him Bar Kochba, or his name remained Ben Kaiziva. They just explained that he is the one being referred to in the pasuk, or his name was originally Bar Kochba. They switched it to Ben Kaiziva to show that he was a falsifier, or he asked people to call him Bar Kochba, or the Sefer Maaseh Toviah of Rabbi Toviah HaRoifeh, he says the nations of the world called him Bar Koiziva because they realized that he was a false Mashiach. Okay?
After his death.
We'll see at what point in time they switched him. Now, let's talk about why anybody thought he was the Mashiach. What were exactly his credentials? Did he have a business card? In other words, if you want to be Mashiach, do you need to have like a special business card? I'm a Mashiach man. I could be Mashiach. I am Mashiach. You have to have like a resume that says you are, you know, what exactly you put down like your counselor's number in camp and you call the counselor and the counselor, yeah, I remember him back in the day. He was, I think he could be Mashiach. What exactly, what do we know about him that demonstrated his potential to be Mashiach? So number one, he had unusual, unparalleled strength. If you threw a projectile at him, a stone projectile, you know, a ancient ballistic missile, he would be able to catch it in his elbow and in the pit of his arm, in his arm, in between his hand and his arm, and he would then be able to project it back and kill many people. So in other words, his strength was unparalleled and unmatched. The Medrash says he could be makabel avnei balistera be'echad me'ar kuvoisav. He could catch it like in this part of his arm and just fling it back and knock down the enemy. Now, in order to enter his army, you had to prove your prowess. So in order to prove your prowess, you would have to stick your hand in fire. Your hand would have to bleed at least 3 drops. And then and only then, if your hand was able to bleed 3 drops, then you could attempt to enter the army of Bar Kochba. Okay, so you know you'll think about whether you want to apply for that. Then he would say, only somebody who could stick their thumb in their mouth and chew it off could enter his army. Because if you are not able to chew off your thumb, you're a wimp. You don't belong in my army. Go, I don't know, go sell mattresses or something. Go sell like use linen or use cars or long-term health care insurance. But you want to be in my army, you have to be able to chew off a thumb. So the Chachamim said, for how long this is brought in the Oitzer HaMidrashim of Eisenstein, it's also brought in the Yushalmi and Tainis Perek Daled, Halacha Hey. So the Rabbanan said, you're making all of Klal Yisrael a bar mumen. So he said, how am I supposed to prove that somebody is worthy to be in the army? What do you think, you're going to have a guy who say, are you athletic? Yeah. What do? I golf. Pal, golf is not a sport. What else do you, but you know, do you have proud? Yeah, I go bowling. You go bowling? No, that's not a sport. Well, you do exercise? Yeah, I go to the pool. Yeah, but you don't even have a bathing, you don't even go in the pool. You sit by the pool. That's not exercise. People think they put on a robe and they go down to the pool and they sit on the chair. That's not exercise. Also, walking around the block. That's not exercise. You have to move every day, 30 minutes. Every day, you have to exercise 30 minutes. If you can't do it every day, a couple times a week. You have to do it. Rav Miller told me that if you have to be Mechallel, let's say you have to be Mechallel Shabbos to save someone's life. Why? Why have to be Mechallel Shabbos to save someone's life? Because better to desecrate one Shabbos, right? So that the person can give many Shabbos. So you have to be Mechallel Shabbos to save someone's life. Certainly, you have to exercise so you'll be able to Mekayim many Shabbos, right? That's pretty logical. If you even have to be Mechallel Shabbos to save someone's life, you got to take care of yourself so you'll live a lot of Shabbos. So Ben Koziva said to the Chachamim, how can I prove somebody's worthy to be in my army? So they said, if somebody's riding on a horse and he could uproot a cedar tree while he's riding, then he could enter, you know, why don't you use that as a barometer? So the Midrashim tell us that Bar Kochba had 200,000 people in his army that could prove their prowess one way by uprooting the cedar trees, and 200,000 people in his army who could prove their prowess another way. And Rabbi Akiva, at least Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to see perhaps others, felt that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. By the way, for someone to be Mashiach, it is not necessary for them to perform any miracles. Okay? They don't have to look at your palm and tell you what you ate for lunch yesterday. In fact, nobody cares what you ate for lunch yesterday. If you fall for people that could tell you things about yourself, then I want to sell you a couple of items. Okay? It doesn't. The fact that somebody could tell you information about yourself has no relevance, not to any significant thing in this world. In any event, all the person has to do is he has to bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. No miracles are necessary, as we're going to see. Now, what happened with this man? Do we have any information given for Sontio to prove their credentials as Mashiach? Yes, we do. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that on the Pasuk, V'harichoi b'yiras Hashem, they will smell with the fear of God. It says Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbi Alexandri. From here we learn that Mashiach will be laden with mitzvahs and yisurin like a millstone. Rava says, no. Mashiach will be able to smell out a court case. To smell out a court case, like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'loy lamare einav yishbait. What does that mean? It means like this. Often the way things look are deceiving. The way something looks is sometimes not true. You know, sometimes people say, I was walking down the street and I saw... Pal, you think you saw. You think you saw. Just because you say you saw, you may or may not have seen that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, but I saw it with my own eyes. Maybe you did, and maybe you didn't. Just because you think so, if I was there, I would say you're seeing things. Many people saw the Loch Ness Monster, but it was never there. There are many, looks are deceiving. If one person sees something, you know how much credibility that has? Zero. What about if you hear something? Hearing could even be more evidence. But even hearing is, so to speak, infallible, but it's not infallible. You could use a computer program, and people call people in different embassies that the Secretary of State is sending a personal message, v'loy haya v'loy nivra. But they heard it. Doesn't matter. It's not infallible. Seeing is not necessarily foolproof. Hearing is not foolproof. But there is something that transcends seeing and hearing. That is smell. The Marshal explains that the sense of smell is the purest of all the senses. He doesn't explain why. Bnei Yisrael explains because when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the only sense he did not utilize is a sense of smell. Smell is something that the neshama utilizes. Mashiach will have the capacity to smell out a case. And even though it may look one way and may sound like a different way, but he'll be able to use a sense of smell to know who's right. You say, I don't know what that means. Okay, so maybe that means you're not Mashiach. Okay? But Mashiach will be able to smell out a court case. So they went to Ben Koziva. Ben Koziva ruled for 2.5 years. Rabbanan, he came to the Chachamim, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and he said, Ana Mashiach, I'm Mashiach. They said, what do you mean you're Mashiach? It says about Mashiach, he could smell out a case. Let's see if you could smell out a case. He couldn't smell out the case. The Gemara says they killed him. The literal meaning of the Gemara is the Chachamim killed Bar Kochba. We're going to have a shir, maybe not the case. So Sunday night shir, you ready? Next week there's no Wednesday night shir. So if you're driving in from the Catskills, from Muncie, from Williamsburg, wherever you're coming from, there's no shir Wednesday night. It's going to be Sunday night by the Tainus, Shivas Batamas, because Shivas Batamas is the fast day for the false Mashiach. Then the following Wednesday, okay, so Sunday night we're going to talk about how Rabbi Akiva could have believed that this man was Mashiach. That's Sunday night shir. The following Wednesday, I think we're going to talk about what happened to Bar Kochba. Who killed him? The Wednesday night before Tisha B'Av, we're going to talk about the war at Beitar. Okay? It's all this stuff nobody ever heard. It's out of this world. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit about Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam says five tragedies happened on Tisha B'Av. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Beit Dar was captured. There were tens of thousands of Jews. There was a great king. And the Dimu Kol Yisrael, the Rambam says, number 15 in Hilchos Tainis. All of Klal Yisrael thought, U'gdolei Chachamim, all the great sages thought, Shehu Melech HaMashiach. The Rambam says, who thought Bar Kochel was Mashiach? This Chassidus, that Chassidus, no. All of Klal Yisrael. Everybody thought he was Mashiach. And he fell to the Romans. And he was killed. And it was a terrible tragedy like the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Comes the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel. And the Rambam again says that don't think that Mashiach has to make a miracle. People think Mashiach is going to be a miracle worker. Not going to be a miracle. Umechadish Tvarim Ba'olam. He's going to have to innovate things. He's not going to have to. He's going to have to be Mechayim Esim. No. He's going to have to read my palm. No. He's going to tell me if this name of a boy and the name of a girl, they go together. No, stay away from that. Never go to anybody to find out if Reuven's name fits with Shprinza. Nothing good will come from it. Don't ask anybody that question about names. Names go, you know how we know if they go together? If he's a Jewish boy and she's a Jewish girl, then they go together. Don't start darshaning the names. And Mashiach definitely won't darshan the names. Says the Rambam, Rabbi Akiva was a great sage. V'hu haya noisei kelev shel ben koiziv ha-melech. He carried the weapons of Bar Kochba. He would trail behind Bar Kochba, carrying his shield and his sword and his weapons. V'hu haya oimer alav shu ha-melech ha-mashiach. V'dimahu, he thought, v'chol chachmei doiroi shu ha-melech ha-mashiach. Ad shenerag b'avonis, until Bar Kochba was killed. And when he was killed, guess what they realized? I guess he's not Mashiach. Asked the Rambam, why didn't they ask Bar Kochba, do you know how to make miracles? Could you make a miracle? Could you do Kabbalah? No, because why? How is that relevant for someone being Mashiach? All he needs to do is bring Klal Yisrael back to Yerushalayim and build the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, the Rambam writes that if he learns Torah and teaches Torah and brings Chai So back to Eretz Yisrael, he's Bechezkas Mashiach. Once he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he is Mashiach. No further things needed. Nothing less. I don't care how many good deeds he does before, that's not relevant. Unless he fulfills those ingredients, he's not it.
Can I ask a question? So maybe they had this feeling because David HaMelech killed Goliath. Goliath, right?
Yeah.
It was a miracle by itself. And they said this guy is killing so many people, they actually, got the idea.
Okay, we'll see. We'll
Right?
see.
But the other one said, what about the 24,000 Talmidim? Did they was a warrior,
No,
soldiers
probably
that
not.
they
No.
got?
No, we don't have any evidence to that. Rav Miller says,
I read it somewhere.
yeah, Rav Miller says that's influence of secular historians, but we don't have evidence that they were part of the army. Okay. So what I want to bring to your attention is first let's establish who exactly thought Bar Kochba was Mashiach. The Rambam says Rabbi Akiva and everyone. Everyone. All the sages, all the Jews. Everyone thought he was Mashiach. Also in the Avudraham. Avudraham says the same idea that there was a great Jewish king. His name was Ben Koziva. V'chashvu kol Yisrael u'gdoy l'chacham shumel ha-Mashiach. Everybody thought he was Mashiach. However, comes Rama Mipano in Sefer Gilgulei HaNeshamos. And he says something astounding. He says, Bar Kochba was not the first individual who tried to jump the gun and say the redemption is at hand before it was at hand. We know that 30 years before Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the Bnei Ephraim thought the Kates had come and they tried to leave Mitzrayim and they were killed by the Plishtim in Gass and they were led by a certain individual. Bar Kochba was the Gilgal of the leader of the Bnei Ephraim that left Mitzrayim 30 years early. Not only that, his job was to rectify the sin of this leader. Because he didn't, now we have a new pshat. He's called Ben Kaiziva. He's the falsifier because he should have been masaking the leader of the Bnei Ephraim and he wasn't masaking them. But now the Ramami Pano says, not everyone, but many of the sages of his generation thought he was Mashiach. And will he ever get tikkun? Yeah. Mashiach Ben Yosef will be the tikkun of Bar Kochba. Okay? That's Ramami Pano. So it's different than the Rambam. The Rambam says everyone thought he was Mashiach. The Ramami Pano says, no, not everyone. Many, many thought he was Mashiach. Comes the Radvaz. Radvaz is one of the Perushim on the Rambam. The Radvaz was the rabbi in Cairo. He's the Rebbe of the Arizal. So can you imagine? He's the Rebbe of the Arizal. He's the Rav in Cairo for 40 years. He says there is no question that not everyone believed in Bar Kochba. There's no question, the Radvaz says, not everyone believed in him. Not most people believed in him. It was a split. It was a split. Ein safek shaya machlokes bein hachachamim miktsasam loy haminu shu Mashiach. Some did not believe he was Mashiach. Uktsasam haminu. Some did believe he was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva was among those who did believe. And so now the question is, after they asked Bar Kochba, could you smell out a case? Did that do the job? So if you look in Sefer HaYuchsen HaShalem, of Rabbi Avram Zakuto, number 21. Rabbi Avram Zakuto says, when they saw he couldn't smell out the case, they said, we're done. They dropped him like a hot potato.
Maybe he had a corona. You know?
What? Yeah. But he was vaccinated 3 times. So, yeah. So when they saw that he couldn't smell out the case, the Sefer HaYochsen said, Nesia Ishmimenu, they gave up hope on him. However, the Radvaz says, no, we don't find that they gave up on him when he couldn't smell out the case. It could be Rabbi Akiva still believed in him because they never brought him, we don't have any evidence they brought him a case to sniff out. So since we don't have any evidence they brought him a case, the Radvaz's opinion is Rabbi Akiva still maintained belief in him. He says it could be that after he couldn't smell out the, now there's a question, I'm going to sort of speak, let that cat out of the bag a little bit. What happened to Bar Kochba? Did the Jews kill him? The Gemara implies the Jews killed him, right? The Gemara says when he couldn't smell out the case, they killed him. On the other hand, and that's the opinion of the Ravid, that the Jews killed him. However, the opinion of the Radvaz is the nations of the world killed him. He says it could be once he couldn't smell out the case, he lost his, you know, what's that? The protection program. You know, there was an executive order given to drop the protection program on Bar Kochba, and then you know who came and knocked him off. You know, well, he was assassinated. But the reason why it's called Klal Yisrael did it is because as soon as he couldn't smell it out, they stopped protecting him, and the nations that were killed. By the way, the Abarbanel wrote an amazing sefer. You know, the Abarbanel wrote a trilogy, 3-volume work about Mashiach. Called Yeshua's Mashichai. The Abarbanel's opinion is not like the Rambam. The Rambam says everyone believed in him. The Ramami Pano says many believed in him. The Radvaz says some believed in him. The Abarbanel says only Rabbi Akiva believed in him. Nobody else bought it. The Abarbanel says Rabbi Akiva was the leader. Yeah. Now, what does it mean Rabbi Akiva was the weapons carrier of Bar Kochba? So what, he stopped teaching? He says, no shir today. What are you doing? I'm the shamish. Who are you the shamish of? Bar Kochba. So Rabbi Akiva walked around, schlepping in a wagon, on a sled, the weapons of Bar Kochba. What exactly does this mean? By the way, according to the Doris HaRishonim of Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Rabinowitz, when some of the Asare Haruge Malchus were killed and assassinated, where they were murdered, that's when Rabbi Akiva, so to speak, withdrew his hands from Bar Kochba. But let's take one more look Take a look in the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam in number 16 in Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam says that Sharei Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei Mishnahaya. Rabbi Akiva was a great sage. V'hu haya noisei kelav shel ben Koiziva. Rabbi Akiva was the weapons bearer of ben Koiziva. V'hu haya oimer alav shu ha-melech ha-mashiach. And Rabbi Akiva says he was Melech HaMashiach. So look at number 23. Look in the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says, who told the Rambam that Rabbi Akiva was the weapons carrier of Bar Kochba? It says that in the Bavli in Sanhedrin? No. It says that in Yushalmi and Tainus? No. It says that in Eicha Rabbah? It doesn't say anywhere that Rabbi Akiva walked around carrying the weapons of Bar Kochba. Where did the Rambam get this from? Look in the Kesef Mishnah. Mikamakim, ma shekasav Rabbi Akiva hayanoisei kelav. That which the Rambam says that Rabbi Akiva carried his weapons, tsarachin hechamaisila. Where is this brought? Now, if you interpret the Rambam literally, that's a valid question. That if you interpret the Rambam that Rabbi Akiva actually walked around carrying the weapons of Bar Kochba, so it's a valid question. Where did the Rambam actually get this from? In Shalshalas HaKabbalah, he seems to take this at face value, that 52 years after the Churban, a man rose. He was called Bar Kochba. They darshan the pasuk Darach Kochav miYaakov. And because he rebelled, they called him Bar Koiziva. He made himself Mashiach. Especially Rabbi Akiva ran after him, Im Klei HaMelech Biyada. Also, the Tfaras Yisrael Masechta Nagon, Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalet, seems to take it literally that Bar Kochva, that Rabbi Akiva was the weapons carrier of Bar Kochva. So the Kesef Mishnah has a kasha. Where did the Rambam get this from? That the greatest of all the Tanoim was walking around carrying the weapons of Bar Kochva. However, the Maariz Chiyos wrote a sefer, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chiyos, called Imrei Bina. And he says, no, the Rambam does not literally mean that if you met Rabbi Akiva on the street, you went to the shul, where's Rabbi Akiva? He's not there. You went to the Beis Medrash, where's Rabbi Akiva? He's not there. Where is he? He's schlepping missiles behind him. He's schlepping armory behind him. Look in the Imrei Bina, look at number 26. Umashe Kasav HaRambam to Rabbi Akiva, noisei kelav, that which the Rambam says, that Rabbi Akiva carried the weapons, hainu shehayah toimech yadoi b'chalayz. What that means is allegorical. He supported him with all of his strength. K'mayshe kasa b'yushalmi, uv'medrash, Akiva, Rabbi hoya oimer, darach koichav miYaakov, darach koiziva miYaakov. And because Rabbi Akiva was the Gadol Hadar, and everybody followed him, it's as if he was carrying his weapons. It doesn't mean literally he was carrying his weapons. Why would he carry his weapons?
How could you
Why
say
doesn't?
it's allegorical?
Because why in the world is Rabbi Akiva carrying his weapons? The man could catch a ballistic missile in his elbow. Yeah. By the way, I didn't tell you what else he could do. Look back in the Oitzer Midrashim Eisenstein. Bar Koichva, as a for fun, would tie his hands and elbows together, jump off walls and kill the enemy. I'll tell you, if the man didn't need his hands and feet, he needed Rabbi Akiva to carry his weapons. So it doesn't mean when we say Rabbi Akiva carried a weapon, it means he humbled himself before Bar Kochba. He, so to speak, threw his hat with Bar Kochba. He put his destiny with it. He believed that this man had a potential to be the Mashiach. By the way, this is probably what Rabbi Avram Zakuto means. That Rabbi Avram Zakuto, take a look at number 21. V'amar HaRambam b'Seif Mishpatim, he carried the weapons of Ben Koiziva. Malach beitar, Melech Bavel, Melech Beitar, Shechashav Shai Mashiach. We don't find in the Medrash he carried his weapons. Ella Bavur Shoyim Mishevet Yehuda, because he was from Shevet Yehuda, v'haya oisam alchamais, and he made wars, and he was successful, and he was mighty. So Rabbi Akiva thought he was Mashiach. It doesn't mean he actually carried the weapons. So the chronicle of the history of Bar Kochba comes from the Sefer Meshichei Hasheker U'Misnagdehem, which is an incredible sefer about many such episodes. Let me just share with you the take of Rav Moshe Shapiro that we once said over many years ago. about what happened with Bar Kochba. You know, we know that during the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we mourn the loss of Rabbi Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim. And because of that, it's a time of avelos for the Jewish people. Isn't it unusual? What, these were the only tzaddikim that ever died, that we have days of avelos? Why don't we have avelos for the death of Rabbi Akiva? Why don't we have avelos for the death of any other tzaddikim? What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Why don't we have a day of avelos for him? Yeshua ben Nun, all the Tanam, all the Amoraim. All of a sudden, what, the only tzaddikim, the greatest tzaddikim that ever lived, are Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students, that they deserve avelos, a period of avelos, more than any other tzaddikim? Furthermore, in our calendar, the only days of avelos that we have are avelos for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't mourn the death of individuals. When else do we mourn the death of individuals? So Rav Moshe Shapiro has a very unusual take on this, an amazing take on this. He says, if Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kochba was Mashiach, then he had to be Mashiach. It's not like if regular people thought someone's Mashiach. This is Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, looked up to the level of Torah knowledge of Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kochba was Mashiach, then that means he was Mashiach. So what happened? It must be he lost it. He lost it. Why did he lose it? Meaning he was, that means he was actually destined to be Mashiach. So then why wasn't he? We must have done an Avera.
That's where it says that.
What was the Avera that Klal Yisrael did that because of it frustrated the possibility of Bar Kochba being Mashiach? The Avera was that the students of Rabbi Akiva in his times, Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh, they didn't accord honor to each other. Because of that, the time wasn't ripe for Mashiach to come. So Bar Kochba had to die. And if Bar Kochba had to die, the third Beis HaMikdash wasn't built. So the period of Sfiras HaOmer is not to mourn the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. The period of Sfira is Chorban, the same way we have Tisha B'Av to mourn Chorban Bayis Rishon and Chorban Bayis Sheni. The Yemei Sfira is Avelos for the Chorban Bayis Shlishi, for the Beis HaMikdash that wasn't built. Why? Because the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. We're not mourning their death per se, says Rav Moshe. We don't mourn the death of individuals. So what happened was that time period, like the 3 weeks, became the 7 weeks. Why the 7 weeks? Because as bad as Churban Bayis Rishon was, and as bad as Churban Bayis Sheni was, but if we could have built the third Beis HaMikdash, and because of the sins of the students of Rabbi Akiva, we were unable to, so the sins of the students of Rabbi Akiva caused Churban Bayis Shlishi. Now, I didn't even realize this, but a couple of years ago, we had a series called Davar Yafa Be'itai. Do you remember this? Connecting the parsha to the time of the year. It is well known that the 24,000 Jews from Shevet Shimon that die at the end of Parshas Balak, this week's parsha, could have been rectified by the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Same number. It's not a common number. That the 24,000 individuals, the end. So that means the same way this time of the year, we're mis'abel over Churban Beitar and the fact that all the frustrated potential of Bar Kochba, that's Parshas Balak. That's this week's Parsha. This week's parsha is Darach Koichav Meyakov. There's great potential that could have happened only 52 years after the second Beis HaMikdash. But what happened? The 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva did not allow it to come to fruition. Really? Where is that alluded to in this week's parsha? We know we have Darach Koichav Meyakov. That's the end of the parsha. The parsha ends. You know what could have happened? The parsha contains Darach Koichav Meyakov. But what could we do? That's the end of this week's parsha. There you have what could have been with the Darach Koichav Meyakov. Darach Koichav Meyakov was a realistic potential for Mashiach to come. Just read the simple words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Sha'arei Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei Mishnah. But, and then the Rambam says, "V'hois, the death of Bar Kocha was Sara Gedola Kamai Chorben Beis Hamikdash." Why? Because it would have meant Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and that is Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak is the first parsha, usually of the 3 weeks, or the introduction to the Zman Chorben Beis Hamikdash. So we're going to continue this Bezos Hashem for a couple of times. Make sure you join us Sunday night between Mincha Marav. For why Rabbi Akiva, what does it mean Rabbi Akiva really thought he was Mashiach?
When Rabbi Akiva, when the Rabbi says Nerag, is he referring to Bar Kokhba or is he referring to the 24,000?
He's referring to Bar Kokhba.
Because it would make sense if he said
yeah.
When that the 24,000, okay, that was...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.